Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Lord, sure love you. Thank you for the book. Thank you for Wednesday night gathered together. I pray you bless our study now, and I pray you help and encourage your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, last week, I spent a lot of time on the first part of James about having respect of persons. Y'all remember that? You haven't forgot it yet? Okay, look up here. Keep your finger there in James. This thought came to me as I was driving home last week. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 8. You know, you're not supposed to treat people, you know, because they look good or because they talk good, different than you treat other people. Is that right? I mean, God said if you do that, what are you doing? You're sinning. It's sin. It is sin. Okay? Now, as Christians, we are supposed to love each other. Is that right? Okay? Is there a difference between loving somebody and liking somebody? I can love you as a Christian, but I may not like you. Oh, look at me like you're super spiritual or something. There's lots of people that are saved you don't like. Okay, now here's the difference. If you love them, you won't talk bad about them. There's lots of people, I could get you to think bad about them if I said negative things about them. Do you understand that? But I don't do that because I love them, okay? And I'm not treating them different than I treat you. Are y'all with me? Now, here's a key. Look at verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be what? Courteous. Hey, it doesn't cost you anything to be courteous to each other. I looked up courteous in the old dictionary, and I like, listen to these definitions. Polite. Parents, you're supposed to train your children to be polite. Well-bred. Parents, you're supposed to breed your children well. Say amen right there. They're not supposed to be ragamuffins, street urchins. Say amen. Polite, well-bred, being of elegant manners. I need to bring y'all at lunchtime to Christian school sometime. Elegant manners. Oh, man. Sometimes I wonder what you parents are doing at home. Do you put DVDs in for the kids to learn from or something? Well, I lost a bunch of you right there, didn't I? I'm not preaching. I'm just reading the dictionary to you. Polite, well-bred, being of elegant manners, obliging. Listen to this one. Condescending. Hey, did you notice Sunday night? I had a problem with this. I should have burst out Sunday night, but I didn't. I had a problem with this. There was cake, and there's one little tray of some meats and some crackers back there. Do y'all remember that? Did you notice who was all racing back there just as fast as they could, piling their plates with that little bit of meat? I'll give you a clue. It wasn't the adults. Said, what was it? Is it kids? Why? They're not condescending. Huh? Hey, I stopped in school. I'm just going to preach here just a little bit, okay? This has nothing to do with James, okay? Listen to me, okay? You parents have the response. You only have these children so long, and you're supposed to be putting something into them that is better than the average world thing is going to put into them. Now, think about this, okay? Is your child more like the devil or more like Jesus Christ? The Bible says that rebellion is as a sin of what? And that stubbornness is as what? Idolatry. Well, when your kid is being stubborn, who's his idol or who's her idol? Themselves. The devil would not submit to God Almighty. Is that correct? And so he rebelled against God's authority because he set himself up as an idol, right? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, eternal, had no beginning, all-powerful, created the heavens and the earth. He submitted himself to God the Father, the Bible says, learning obedience by the things that he suffered. So is your child submitting themselves, or is your child rebelling as the devil? So are they more like Christ, or are they more like the devil? How are we doing? And that has to do with the way you train them. Hey, listen to me. Those missionaries are coming by. You have no idea all the hardships missionaries go through on the field. When they come into this church, it should be, Pastor Matt prayed it, refreshing to them. You know what would be refreshing? That a teenager would actually go up to them and hold a semi-coherent conversation. It would probably go, this teenager is looking me in the eye and talking to me and asking me intelligent questions. And after they got over the initial shock, they would be refreshed that somebody's doing something with children in this day and age instead of feeding them a diet of TV and movies and internet and all that other foolishness. Say amen right there. And so I expect you kids, if I see anybody just congregating and not ministering to Brother Falor and ministering to the Johnsons, I am going to call you out publicly. It should be a part of our being. It should be a part of our spirit that anybody who walks through those doors, we're reaching out to them, want to be a blessing to them. Refreshing. Courteous. That's how I got started on this. Need to teach your children to be courteous. That means to honor adults. That means to honor all adults. Huh? Here. You guys are peons. Do you understand that? You are slaves. You are free labor. You mothers that chew your kids' food before they even eat it, somebody ought to whip you for crying out loud. You got all this. You shouldn't do a dish, a pot, or a pan until this one is gone. This one should be cooking two or three times a week. All of these kids should be doing their own laundry, washing it, drying it, folding it, putting it away. Say amen right there, you Claire kids. Amen. You got all, hey, you feed these kids, you clothe these kids, you take them to the dentist and put braces on their teeth. Buddy, you should be getting some W-O-R-K out of them. Man, I'd long for the day that I had all those little kids. And I remember when the last one moved out and I had to cut the grass. I said to Nan, how do you start this thing? Say amen. Said, oh, that's mean. That's not mean. That's character building. That's teaching those kids a work ethic. Nothing is for free. Man, I'm hopped up. I've been working on this message. Not this message. I was working on this one. I'm working on another one. And it's just spilling out. Do you love Jesus? Amen. So anyway, let me get back. Wait, I didn't finish. Condescending. I got chasing condescending. You parents who condescend to your children, somebody should spank you. Look up here. You're the boss. Huh? Well, you know, I'm just trying to make them happy. I know how to make them happy. And not the way you're doing it. They'll never be happy the way you're doing it. Because when is that flesh ever satisfied? Never. So you can give and give and spend and take, and they just get more rebellious and more miserable by the day. Because they don't what? They don't appreciate nothing. Huh? You're their slave. You know, they know how to pull your strings. How am I doing? I hate you, right? No. I'm trying to train up some godly young men and some godly young ladies. Buddy, their price is far above rubies because they're so rare. But it's nothing but hard work on the parents' part. So anyway, condescending, graceful, courteous. And that all gets back. That applies to us adults, guys. We should be courteous. And it shouldn't just be here at the church. It should be at the house. It should be at the church. It should be out in the world. We should stick out in the way we talk and act and treat other people. Okay, so I got started on that. So let's get back to the principles of the law, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is what? He's guilty of all. You know, James is a lot, really, I know it's the Bible, I know it's inspired, but it's really common sense. But you know what? Common sense is about left the United States of America. Amen? I mean, when you get a warning, okay, when you get a warning on this stuff that you buy, okay, and it's just it's just ridiculous stuff, you know, like hair dye, warning, do not put over ice cream. It's hair dye. Who would put hair dye over ice cream? But common sense. And the world's not known for that. So look at the principle of condemnation in verse 10 and 11. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of what? Of all of it. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a what? You're a transgressor of the law. So there's the principle of condemnation. The law here is treated, you think about the law, you think about the Ten Commandments, okay? I know there's a lot more to the law than that. But see, the law is treated as a unit. It's treated like a chain. So if you break one link, what have you done? You've broken the chain, okay? And then what? You break the law, there's what? There's punishment. There's judgment, okay? Guys, it's vitally important in our life and in our family's life, that they understand that they disobey the law, there's punishment involved. And so, if somebody insists, well, the way I'm going to get to heaven is I'm going to keep the law, I'm going to obey the commandments, then what they have, instead of accepting Christ, instead of believing the gospel, then what they must do is they must keep what? The whole law. You can't break in any aspect, because you break one aspect, you're guilty of all. Look at Galatians, keep your finger in James, and look with me in Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5 verse 1. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the what? The whole law. Verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And so we need to understand that if you're going to say, I'm going to work my way to heaven by keeping the law and doing good, you can't break one aspect of the law. Thou shalt not lie. You tell one lie, you're guilty of, okay? And then if you break the law is the punishment, and the wages of sin is death, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. So you need to be consistent. People are not consistent in what they want to say. Now look at verse number 12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. What James is really doing is closing out the first nine verses about the practical instruction of respecting persons. He's talking in verse 12 about word, about verse 12, so speak ye, your word, so do, your deeds, your actions, okay? And now he's going to tell them how to behave yourself. Verse 12. Verse 12. So speak ye, so do, as they that shall be what? Judged by what? By that law that you said by keeping the law that you're going to go to heaven. Okay? Chapter number 1 in James, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect what? Law of liberty. and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. If he fulfill the royal law. So the law of liberty, the royal law, is referred to as the same law. So if you confess something, what should you do? You ought to do it. You ought to back it up. I tell you what's lacking today in saved people's lives, a consistent testimony. You want to be consistent. You should not live different at the house than you live at the job. You shouldn't live different at the job than you live at the church. There should be a consistency in our testimony. That is what magnifies the change that Jesus Christ has performed in our life, because it's been his work. So we ought to be consistent. Verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. I don't know about you, but I want mercy. Okay, you have grace and you have mercy. Mercy is you don't get what you deserve. I deserve to go to hell and burn in hell forever because I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But March 20th, 1975, when I asked Christ to save me, he showed me what? Mercy. And he saved me and he withheld the judgment. And now, what's grace? Grace is getting blessings you what? You don't deserve. Well, here, you want mercy? I want mercy. What should you do? Show mercy. Amen? Husbands and wives have a great opportunity to do that, don't they? Say amen, Miss Keenan. Right? Children, you have a great opportunity when you fuss with your brothers and sisters to show mercy with one another. Right? People at church. And so no mercy, there's no mercy in judgment. In other words, I don't want to be judged according to the letter of the law. He said, why? I fall too far short of the letter of the law. But you know what the Lord does? The mercy of God rejoiceth against judgment. Buddy, that night I asked God to save me. He rejoiced in saving me. Okay, do you understand? It says this in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so I think a lot of our Christianity, our practical Christianity, is going to come to light at the judgment seat of Christ. Guys, if you want mercy, I mean, you want to show mercy. So let's pick up in verse 14. Now, verses 14 through the end of the chapter, some people find them controversial, but really they're just talking about the proof of faith. Let's start in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is, what's that word? Being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is? Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works. Was Rahab always a harlot? When did she cease to be a harlot? After she got saved. But you know what? They always refer to her as Rahab the harlot. Sometimes there's things hard to beat in that old life. Anyway, justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now guys, there is no contradiction in the Bible where it teaches justification by faith. Keep your finger in James. Go to Romans 4 and Galatians 2. Romans chapter 4 and Galatians 2. The Bible clearly teaches, and I'm just going to give you two examples. We could go to dozens. That you're going to get saved by grace through faith. There are no amount of good works that are going to earn your way to heaven. None. Zero. Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Justification by faith. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the Lord. A man is what? Not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall, what? No flesh be justified. There ain't nobody gone to heaven on a system of works or religion. It has to be faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is James teaching? James is teaching that the evidence of faith in Jesus Christ is good works. Look what it's. Let's go back to James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? I want to ask you a question. Can faith save him? Well, let's go over to, look at verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also, what's that word? What's another word for believe? So these devils believed what? They believed in God. They believed in one God. Where were the devils going? They're going to hell. That faith can't save you. Hey, listen, I was raised a Roman Catholic. I believed in God. I believed in the Trinity. I believed in heaven, hell, and purgatory. I believed in all that. Did you believe in one God before you got... Did that save you? No. The devils believe. Hey, what you need is repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, atonement on Calvary to take away your sins. That faith can save you. And that faith will change you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, if faith has no fruit, no evidence of conversion, that is not a saving faith. Not that kind. Let's, you kids that have memorized James chapter 2, stand up. Stand up. All you parents, I want you parents to follow these verses. I'm going to give these kids a verse. Are you ready? Verse 14, James chapter 2, verse 14. You parents, follow along in the Bible. You don't know it. What is it?
Dead.
It's dead. Verse 18. Verse 20. Verse 24.
You see that how it works manifest if I'm not by faith only?
Verse 26.
For as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Thank you. You may be seated. What does dead mean? I looked up in the old dictionary. So I'm not preaching, I'm just reading the dictionary. Deprived or destitute of life, without life, not proceeding from spiritual life, not producing good works, as faith without works is dead, James 2:20. That's what it says in the old dictionary. You ain't going to find no new dictionaries that talk like that. Hey, if something is alive, it produces fruit. If something is dead, it produces nothing. It's a corpse. What does a corpse do? It stinks. There's no life. Are we okay? That's what it said. Look at verse 15. Here's the illustration. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily bread, so what do they need? Food and clothing. Verse 16. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Hey, if you ain't got no clothes on, it's 32 degrees outside and you haven't eaten for 6 days, okay? So you are cold and you are hungry. And I'm such a wonderful, quote unquote, so-called Christian. Oh, be ye warmed and filled, dear brother. Has that helped him any? What is that? That's dead, buddy. That's dead. That's hypocrisy. That's dead. There's no faith. There's no fruit there. What profit is it? There is none. That's the Lord's illustration. Look at verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. You notice how many times he uses the word dead in a few scriptures? Four. What's he trying to get across to you? If what you say you have is faith in Christ and it doesn't produce any good works, you're not saved. I don't care how many prayers you prayed, how many times you got baptized, how many churches you joined, you need to be converted. You know, when I moved out of the house at 17 years old to go to college, I stopped going to church on Sundays. Do you know why? Church was dead. Buddy, dead. I got saved on a Thursday night. On Friday, I was in church. Nobody offered me a hot dog. Nobody bribed me with a silver dollar. Nobody horse collared me. I got saved Thursday night. I got invited to a Bible preaching church on Friday. I went to church. Ever since I went to church, I have been addicted to church. I said, what happened? I got saved. I got a new nature. I got God. The Holy Ghost moved in. See, listen to me. You still got these children, parents, your children have the old nature. We still have the old nature. Some of you parents are shocked when your kids do stuff. I was just listening to Hank preach the other day, and he talked about when Robbie went over to the camp meeting at Shady Acres, and he went into a 7-Eleven, and he lifted a candy bar. What's that called? Shoplifted. He shoplifted a candy bar. Well, he got caught. So they drag him over, and his daddy finds out about it. His daddy was Brother Hank's assistant pastor. And Pastor Bob goes up to Brother Hank. He goes, Brother Hank, I'll resign. I'll quit the church. And Brother Hank goes, you'll resign? What are you talking about? He said, Robbie shoplifted a candy bar. He goes, so what? All kids are thieves. Say amen. Amen. Oh, my little baby, my little angel's not a thief. You're a nut. You know what? They've got a place for you. So, you know, what Hank said, no, just make them go back to the place, make them pay for it, make them offer to sweep the floors and clean the counters and all, then bring them back and make them apologize to Brother Jack and put them up in front of the youth group and tell them that he was a shoplifter and just embarrass the devil out of them. Show them that there's a payment for doing wrong. So many parents, you want to save your children from the consequences of doing wrong. You're not doing it God's way. There's consequences. There's payment. How did I get into that? Going to church. You didn't need to give me a candy bar. See, when you get God's nature in you, it affects your appetites. It affects your environment. It affects your companions. Who do dope heads hang around? Who do drunks hang around? Who do thieves hang around? Who do Christians hang around? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So the faith that is boasted of you know, be ye warmed and filled, it's dead. It's void of life. It's a corpse. It ain't got no life. True faith produces fruit. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Y'all with me? Guys, many times you and I don't even have to tell people we're saved. Our life screams that we're different. It's about the Lord. Y'all with me? Verse 19, thou believe... Verse number 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Dead. Now he's going to illustrate for us again, because windows are light, more light, easier. Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by what? Well, we've read in Romans that Abraham was justified by what? By faith. But see, his works proved his faith. Okay? When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, what did the Lord say? Hey, worship and love are first mentioned with Isaac and Abraham and God up on Mount Moriah. And what it was is God is a jealous God. If you love somebody or you love something more than Jesus Christ, the Lord's not happy about it because he's jealous. He wants to be number one. And so what was he doing? He was tempting Abraham. He said to him, you know how long Abraham waited for Isaac? He's an old man. He's 90-some years old, 100 years old. And Sarah's 90-some years old before they had that baby. So now he's 13 years old or whatever he is. And he says, I want you to offer up your son, your only son, Isaac. Well, it was prior to that when God says, hey, listen, you see the number of stars in the sky? He said, that's not going to be the number of your descendants. Abraham doesn't even have a kid with Sarah. And he says, Lord, if you said it, I believe it. And that's when it was imputed to him for righteousness. God saw his faith in the Word of God and put righteousness to his account because he trusted Christ. Well, now he's going to put that faith to the test. And so what's he do? He's ready to offer up his son. Carries him up, binds him up, raises up the sword. He's going to slit his throat, and then he's going to offer up that offering. And then the Lord stops him there because he saw in his heart he's ready to offer him up. So his works proved his what? His faith. Y'all with me? Hey, if there's no good works in a Christian's life, I don't believe they're saved. And they can call themselves whatever they want to call themselves. So there it is there. Look down at verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by what? Well, Hebrews said she was justified by what? Faith. What was it? Well, those Jews came to her place and she did what? She hid them. Okay? And then... when she told him to get out and the guys came and the people from Jericho said, where are the Jewish spies? What did she do? She lied. She covered for those Jews. And what did God do for it? Blessed her. And so those Jews said what? Said, okay, listen, woman. You get whoever you want to get and you get them in this house. He said, but we're coming back. And buddy, the walls of Jericho are going to fall. And you hang this scarlet thread out the window and you keep everybody. If you leave the house, you're not safe. And what did she do? She believed the word of God, and she was saved by the grace of God. But her works proved her what? Her faith. Okay, now I want you to think, and I'm almost done. I want you to think, what are some of the most common verses to teach salvation is by grace through faith and no works? Somebody raise their hand and give me a verse. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Think of another one with me. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's starting in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through what? And that what? Not of yourselves. It is a what? You can't earn a gift. You accept a gift. You receive a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? I am not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I don't drink and I don't dope up and I don't whore around. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Not of works. So salvation is by grace through faith, right? But now look at verse 10. Two verses, salvation by grace through faith, not of works, verse 10. For we, those of us that are saved, are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works. What's an orange tree produce? I know we're getting deep here. What's a cherry tree produce? What's a rose bush produce? How hard do they have to work at that? Not very hard. So how about good works coming out of you? How hard should they be? It should just come because we got God's nature. So what I showed you in Ephesians is verification that the proof of your faith is works. But you can't work to get to heaven. Does somebody have another verse that is well known in the New Testament that you're saved by grace and not through works? Let's go to Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. Let's pick up Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So you're not saved by works, you're saved by the mercy of God, faith in Christ. Verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Good works doesn't get you to heaven. Good works is a proof that you have faith in Christ and you're on your way to heaven. Are we all okay with that? Okay? And so, listen, guys, your faith, your belief, should affect your behavior. Okay? I had a lot of bad habits when I got saved at 22. I got saved March 20th. All those habits didn't leave overnight. But I got a desire for the Word of God. I got a desire for good Bible preaching church. I got hungry for the Word. And God started working. And those things that I wanted before I was saved, I didn't want anymore. I wanted new things because I had a new nature. It was God's nature. Are y'all with me? That happens to everybody who truly gets saved. You say, well, I know somebody, you know, they said they got saved, but you know, they never gave up drinking, they never gave up stealing. Buddy, they didn't get saved. My Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, listen, the night I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell forever. I had no idea what the Christian life was about, but I'll tell you, 42 years later, it's the greatest life this side of heaven. And listen, we haven't even touched the hem of the garment on the benefits of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorified body, amen? Forever and ever with the Lord. So, James chapter 2 is important, but it's practical. Just that works doesn't save, but works is a proof of your salvation. Let's pray.